Everybody loves a friendship podcast, right? Deep in the off season right now, 3-4 months away from football, it gets a little bit slow. That's okay. We're going to discuss, go into a little bit more detail, some open-ended discussion about the draft episode that we had, who really had the best team there, a couple other fun topics on the docket, Brock Purdy got paid, an airplane hypothetical, and a whole lot more true washed-up walk-ons content here. Let's have a day. Let's go. The intro cut?
No.
You did so good last time though.
One and done, baby.
It was fun for me because I went back and I was like, what'd they say at the beginning? How did Kevin and you brought it in great, man. After 600 episodes, you got your spotlight, you got your time to shine, and man, you killed it.
Yeah, you know, they always say you gotta be able to learn from the back of a room. Take mental reps on the sidelines, right? So we just got to translate that here to the podcasting world. So hopefully did all right.
There was a lot of film reps that you got there.
Exactly.
And you just took that across the white line.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm proud of you. For those confused, if you didn't listen to the last episode, that was with Ivory Kelly Martin. Fantastic episode, by the way. Didn't get to really participate in it myself. Because for the first time, well, not the first time in the history of this podcast, but the first time in a very long time. G-Bone, have I ever had internet issues since you've come on?
Yeah, definitely. Definitely a few times, yeah.
I thought it was your computer. Your computer screen like turned blue, right?
Bro, it went full. I don't know what happened.
You have a geek squad on that or what happened?
No, I figured it out. I'm tech guy enough at this point that I can finagle stuff, but. That isn't the first time it's happened to me. Fortunately, the first time it happened, it was not during a podcasting session, but I got this computer paid for by the university.
Oh, it's that computer.
Yeah. So back when we found out, which they don't even tell you, maybe one of the biggest bullshit things that they don't like really push to the athletes is like, hey, there is a amount of money that the university will pay for you to have a computer or a laptop. Like, you get $1,500 worth of school electronics. At least it was $1,500 at the time, but they never like really pushed that. You just had to figure it out, or somebody else had to be like, yo, you can do this. So I went to Best Buy and bought this bitch in 2015. And we are, well, right at about 10 years. And put it through a lot of Fortnite, put it through a lot of podcasting, and I work on it every day. So we're probably riding the line of its lifespan.
Do computers actually have like lifespans like a car engine like that?
I believe so. Yeah. I think a tower, like a PC tower is, yeah. I think the last time I searched it was like 8 to 10 years, maybe 12 years.
Is it dependent on how many minutes you log on it, I guess?
Storage
like
issues.
Car engine and miles.
Yeah, storage issues and several other things. I'm not going to act like I'm the actual geek squad on it. But yeah, there's just, you know, we got 600 podcasts loaded onto this thing. Malware from all those websites you were talking about me being on last episode. So, you know, you got to be careful. Got to stay away from those that dark web. Anyway, we're back. This is going to be casual. This might be back to the friendship podcast days tonight. So
we're going to do a top five.
Ooh. Well, funny enough, somebody just hit us on YouTube in one of the most recent videos and said, man, or maybe it was the Discord. And they're like, y'all got to bring back the top fives.
It's been a long time since we've done that.
It has been a really long time. So one of the questions on tonight's agenda was, what is our next top five going to be?
You're just doing the like boardroom meeting content ideas is now you're trying to what you're going to use as content.
Yeah. Yes. The content tonight is what content are we going to do in the future? Well, as you guys know, it's about to be the dry season, and we're not talking about weather wise. We're talking specifically for our brand, our niche of the internet and podcasting. It is the middle of May, later half of May now, as we record this. There's not a lot of football going on, boys. There's not a lot.
Unless you want to get into the UFL. And,
unless you're trying to, dude, and talk about a fall off. I haven't seen. I saw one clip of like a kick six last weekend, and that's the only thing I've seen of the UFL or the USF, whatever it's called now, XFL. And I have not seen any of that. None of it. Not on social media, not on TV.
Do you think you could name four teams if compelled to?
With
cities. Defenders. With cities.
They defenders. Combined, didn't they? So they took 4-4, right?
Yes. Actually, I said that confidently. I have no idea how many teams.
So my last knowledge of the of those, I don't even know what you would call them, a feeder league? I'm not sure. Was that the XFL and the USFL combined, and they took four teams from each league. Those are the new eight teams of the combined league, and one of them is the
there doesn't are eight, is, teams
is
they have names.
There, it's a great
what
you haven't pulled up.
I have them pulled up. I would not have gotten most of these. I will say. I think I could have gotten three, maybe.
How about just the cities? Let's go with the cities.
St. Louis is still one, right?
St. Louis, yes.
Okay.
Antonio Brahmas, are those still teams?
Oh, yes, the Brahmas, yes.
The Brahmas. Well, Kerner played for them.
Yeah.
Yes. Is Arlington the Renegades?
Arlington's the Renegades, yes.
Let's go. Come on now.
Ooh, I feel like Detroit has a team. Or someone in Michigan.
Is it just Michigan? It's like maybe the Michigan... Yes.
Michigan, the state of Michigan has a team. I don't know where they play.
Or maybe they're like in Flint or something like that.
Michigan, that bad water out in Flint. Probably don't, yeah.
Been there, great city.
What's the mascot, Grant?
They're the Panthers.
Okay, Panthers. So that's four. Did the Seattle team survive?
If they had one, no.
Okay. I feel like there's another Texas team. There's like three Texas teams.
Birmingham had a team.
The Birmingham Fighting Stallions.
There we go.
Our team.
Oh, shit.
And they have some great players, which I could name, but I'm not going to.
Okay. I feel like there's got to be a Florida team out there somewhere.
Just give us the other three.
No. Well, there's my team, the Memphis Showboats, a diehard Showboats fan. And then there's the we said DC Defenders. Let's see. Do we do Arlington Renegades, right?
Yeah.
And then it was the St. Louis Battlehawks.
The Battlehawks. Yeah, because Stoops still coaches the Battlehawks, I'm pretty sure. Or he was.
This is news to me.
At one point. You know, I had a very brief open door into that league for a very hot second. Nick Novak used to kick in the NFL. I don't know for what teams. I think the Jets.
I was going to say Chargers. But.
Maybe the Chargers, too. I think there's probably multiple. He hit me up in 2022, and was like, hey, are you in shape? And I was like, yeah. He's like, how's the ball look? And I was like, I mean, pretty good. Pretty good. I could be really good in about a month if I had time. He's like, I'm in charge of hosting the combine for this new league at the time when it was coming together. He's like, I'm going to bring out all a certain amount of guys, 30 or 40 guys, and the top, you know, the top eight are going to get picked for each team or whatever in San Diego. And I was like, cool. Send me the information. Ghosted me. Never heard from him again. It's like, fuck, man.
What are those guys making?
Supposedly they like, and this is why I think they have trouble with the sustainability is because, God, I want to say at one point, like it was a league min of like 60 or 70 grand.
Says league minimum is around $55,000.
55 grand?
Yeah.
And I think it's like 8 weeks of work, man.
Oh, they just got a raise. Players union, good job. 62,000.
Oh, hey there.
Yeah, I mean, it's good money for the amount of time that you work, but at the same time,
how do you do it if you have a real job, you know?
Right. Yeah, like you're kind of foregoing a career if you're doing that still.
You're basically saying I'm going to bank on somehow making it out of this league into the NFL by like being one of the best players in this league.
I mean, it's either that or it's like, hey, like I'm going to do this as long as I can.
Yeah.
You know, a few months out of the year, this is what I'm going to be. I'm going to be a professional football player.
Yeah.
You know, a few months, I'm going to do like something like, I don't know, like
landscaping
or bartending or
shout out to a new company that me and my brother are starting,
like,
by the way.
You know, going to construction. I don't know.
Seriously. Yeah.
But not something like where you're going to work for a corporate job and you have to kind of show up month after month.
As you guys like
to play. When is arena football? Because, like, do people do UFL and then whenever that ends, like August or something, right? They just like straight into arena football. No offense. I feel
like there's a bunch of different arena football leagues out there.
Arena football is like even worse, dude. Like, I think Shudak was at one point going to play for the Barnstormers. Arena football.
You probably get paid by the game there.
Dude, I've seen some stories or like listened to a podcast of somebody like those players are worried that the checks are even that they're even going to they're going to cash. Like they go to the bank and like there was some God, who was telling this story? Somebody was telling a story of being in the Arena Football League and they would like race to the bank when they got their check on Monday of payday.
It's like because, first in cashes.
Because if you're one of the last guys to go to the bank that week, your check wouldn't cash.
That's crazy.
Wild. I don't know. Grant could pull it up. But seriously, like it would have been perfect for me. And I am going to get into landscaping, which is not a joke. My brothers and I, Zach is actually, my youngest brother. He was on the podcast last year, played for Iowa for a couple years as a long snapper backup, is starting his own, lawn and landscape company.
I said, didn't you just start mowing your lawn for the first time like 2 months ago?
Yeah, now I'm a professional.
Now you're a pro.
I'm not exactly behind the I am behind the business. If anybody wants their lawn mowed, the Kluver brothers can do it. We lawn care actually goes deep in our blood. My father and uncle, well, anybody who's in the Des Moines area knows Jerry Kluver. He's like he literally was called like the garden guru. Used to have a gardening show on local television for like years.
Of course. And then everyone knows.
You would be amazed, Grant, at how many people in Iowa know me as Jerry Kluver's grandson.
Oh, yeah. No, the tales of Jerry Kluver. I made it to Iowa City even then.
You're going to get hit with some DMs who people who are big Jerry Kluver fans, Grant, because there's some.
I'm a big Jerry Kluver fan.
Of course, just like you're a fan of the Memphis Steamboats.
Showboats.
So then he was in the summers when my dad and uncle, both teachers, when they had their off time in the summers, they would go down to Des Moines or down here to Des Moines. And, they'd just landscape and do that all summer. Like they're literally like landscape company of like 10, 15 plus years, just running in our blood. So if anybody needs some mowing and stuff, but that's what I would do. I'd just long snap for 8 weeks for 60 G's. Call it good, Kev. Podcast. I could podcast from St. Louis as a battle hawk. It's not like I'd have, you know, they're not doing anything on Sunday nights.
Mow some grass in the summer, plow some snow in the winter.
Yeah.
You're going to be like Paul George retire from podcasting to increase your playoff performances.
No.
You're not going to focus on ball.
I would not focus on ball if I was, dude, I barely had to focus on ball when I was playing for the Hawkeyes. It was pretty easy. What's going to be the next top five?
Top five.
What have we done? We've done cereals. We've done, God, what else did we do? We've done like some theme top fives, some Christmas top fives.
I did.
A bunch of food related stuff.
Food's always good because people love food. We need another food one. If you're watching on the YouTube, go to Patreon, subscribe, by the way, click the like button, do all the things for us. We need it.
We could do like a, might take, a little bit of thinking, but top five all-time Iowa football games.
All-time games that an Iowa Hawkeye team has played in. That would be a good one.
Like just football or
could everything? Do just football or you could do everything.
Oh, jeez. Top five Iowa Hawkeye sporting events of all time.
I'm sure the women's golf team had an insane match against
Iowa State. Kalen Walker, that kid who ran the 4.21 or 4.17 or whatever on Kinnick.
Yeah, he won the Big
Ten. He just won the 100 in the Big Ten.
Yeah, I don't think people realize too how fast 10.1.
He went 10.17. Like,
that's ridiculous. I don't think people understand how good that is.
Far away from Olympic caliber.
I believe his Iowa record is faster than that too. I could be wrong. I think he ran like a 10.05 at one point.
You want to know what's really crazy? Is I've fallen to like the track algorithm on Instagram and TikTok before. I saw a Texas high school 100 meter where 10.17 was like sixth in a Texas high school 100. 9.98 won it.
Yeah,
crazy,
bro.
Track's cool, man.
Those guys are flying. Make Kevin look real slow. And he's the fastest one of us three.
Didn't take much to make me look slow.
Yeah, same.
It's gotta be a difficult sport to do all that training just to 10 seconds. It's over.
Yeah, we do have a couple of football things to cover tonight. But first, this has been on my little outline that I keep on the side over here forever, and I didn't bring it up for a long time because when I first thought of it, it was right around the time, the turn of the year, where all those like plane and helicopter accidents were happening and people were like, what's going on with the airlines? So I just kind of kept it. But I see this I see this joke all the time on Twitter. It's usually by women who are like, why do 100% of men think that if an airplane goes down and they're the passenger on the plane, that they will be the one to survive? And I was like, that's a good question, because I kind of feel like I would be the one to survive.
Yeah, I'd just jump out the last second, obviously. Just barrel roll away.
So, in some way, some form, I was going to pose the question to the round table here.
To the forum.
I don't even know. How bad of a crash does it have to be where everyone actually, there, no one survives, right? Like, could you?
You've had this bottled up for
the vast majority of plane crashes. They are
no survivors.
No survivors.
Okay. If 10% of the people survive, there's 200 people on an airplane and 20 survive. Do you feel like you have a better odds than the average person on that flight to be one of those 10%? I do. I have an
based off of like where you're sitting.
Or? I have an irrational.
Where you're sitting is the by far biggest factor of whether you're.
And also, why are we crashing too? Like
every other week you see a plane go down.
Pilot got a little distracted, flew over airspace shouldn't have been in. F-1, F-15 start flying around.
Like, everybody thinks about it. Everybody thinks about it. No one's not been in an airplane and thought, what if the some bitch starts to nosedive?
Yeah, that was every flight out of Cedar Rapids Airport for my college career. A lot of shaky flights out of there, especially in the winter. Oh, not a lot of confidence in the passengers.
Kev, what flight was it that we bounced on the runway? Was that to or from the Rose Bowl, one of those?
We what now?
There was a specific flight of our career going to or from a destination for a game where when we landed – it felt like we went from 100 feet above the ground to on the ground in less time than it was supposed to happen in.
Oh, no, no recollection of that.
Okay, you might have been sleeping. Who knows? You might have been sleeping.
That happened to like the Gonzaga team plane from this year. Almost just got totally smoked.
Toronto, the Delta flight, that's what happened, is like they just hit the wrong runway way too hard.
Bro, that's not good. I just think I have an irrational confidence that like – plane goes down and there's a bunch of people that are just getting mangled somehow.
I mean, does it help to be healthier? Does it help to be a larger human being with more blood that you can lose? Probably.
As you lay there,
maybe it's helpful to be smaller and you're less likely to get impaled by something.
True. Who knows?
Listen, I just feel like when the jet engine that's 15 feet away from you explodes, it's gonna be hard to be like, yeah, well, I do CrossFit, so I was immune.
Bro, you don't even. This plane doesn't even understand how much I can clean and jerk, man.
Yeah, I think the tail is actually like the safest.
Yeah, because the nose is going to take the impact from. Saw this.
I think it also matters what type of crash too. Like,
or like what is
you're gonna, the, like? If you're gonna land in a field, I think you want to be over the wings.
Like those tiny planes. Like Harrison Ford, I feel like he's been in like 6 plane crashes with his like tiny plane that he flies around. He's fine, I think.
He needs to get better at flying. Saw we got tagged in this headline on Twitter. Kev, congrats on your time at Army.
It was a great honor to be able to give back to my country, and I look forward to being able to do it again in a different circumstance.
This is Jay. He's been a longtime fan of the show. It tagged us in this and said, "Back to medical sales, I guess." And it's just a picture of I guess the name of the Army wrestling coach, assumedly is Kevin Ward. It says Kevin Ward steps down at Army. Hey man, you had a hell of a run, buddy.
Yeah, we'll take it. We'll take it.
I feel like you'd be a good wrestling coach.
I feel like I wouldn't because I don't know.
If you knew more about wrestling.
Yeah,
that will take you out. that will eliminate you from getting your next job, probably as a wrestling coach.
Yeah, for medical sales.
That explains why you stepped down.
All right, let's go ahead and edit that part out of the podcast and so I can, you know, still interview somewhere.
So that your next wrestling head job interview doesn't know that you don't know anything.
Well, hey, think about the people who are interviewing the head wrestling coach, the AD, maybe the college president. I don't know who
interviews
people. Like, they don't know anything about wrestling either.
So. Yeah, you probably, if you get in front of them, they just assume that you know what you're doing.
You just have to throw out terminology they've never heard of.
I want to because we had a really great response to the draft episode that we did, and it took us a little longer than we would have liked drafting. Oh, I don't know, 100 guys.
Yeah.
And if you're watching, or if you're not watching on the YouTube, and you want to come to the YouTube version of this for this next 10 or 20 minutes of conversation, please do so. It'll be easier. Kevin put all these into a nice singular Excel sheet. The Drake, Kevin, Gary, and Kluver teams. A lot of responses, a lot of good interaction with you guys. Thank you for participating. That's exactly what one of those episodes needs to look like, when you guys respond and give us fun conversation. There was not a single of the four teams that was left out when asked who would win out of these four. Kevin was the, I would say, clear most picked. I have some qualms about that. I don't know why it was so obvious, or why people think it was so obvious that Kevin would win that draft. I think it's a lot closer than the majority of people were giving it credit for. But Gary was picked. I saw several people that were like, this is Drake far and away. I had like 3 or 4 people out of the 50 or 60 responses that said, yeah, probably got to be Kluver and then Kevin's next. And I was like, okay, well, why do they think I win? No one's giving their – Not many people were giving their reasoning, so I just wanted to have a little post draft discussion amongst the three of us on what your thoughts are. I know, obviously, Kev, we left that draft, and you said, "I like my team."
I like my team a lot.
I like your team too.
Where's the weakness?
Your punter is not going to be able to run a fake punt as well as my punter. We know that.
We do know that.
Sneaky Petrus is a underrated part of this graphic.
Someone did call to our attention, though, for Drake's team. Brandon Wager never played a game in the 2010s.
Saw that.
He was on the roster for spring ball that year,
yeah,
but did not play that season. So I don't know.
Does it count?
I don't think – did Jack Campbell play a game in 2019 either?
He was on a roster.
He was on the roster during the season. I think he
played his true freshman year, so probably, yeah.
Well, we made that distinction before, but what they're saying is Wager was never on the roster during a season in that 10-year stretch.
Yeah.
He was just on the roster during the spring of 2010?
Correct.
Oh, no.
Ooh.
Asterisks around.
Well, who's the next best running back if we disqualify Wager and we just give the next best to Drake? Does it matter? I mean, Wager did have crazy potential. He with what he did in his 1 year, could have actually been like legitimately the best running back Iowa's ever had.
I had Marcus Coker on my big board.
Yeah, Coker was a lot of people mentioned him.
I think LaShawn probably would have been the next in discussion, probably.
True. So when we're going over this, if people are curious, some of the biggest misses that people were talking about were Coker, the doozy at tight end was mentioned several times.
Man, possibly, but that's a deep tight. That's a deep eight in tight end.
It's a deep eight, man. I mean, when you're talking about probably Beyer was your least productive in college, probably.
Yeah.
Ray Hamilton or Beyer. I mean, you're talking about Fedorowicz, NFL starter, Fant, Hawkinson, Laporta, Kittle, all NFL starters. Coble played a ton of meaningful reps for the Colts for several years. And then Beyer went to, I mean, Ray probably had Beyer's had a longer NFL stint, I think. So,
I think actually Allen Reisner would probably be the first tight end that should have gotten.
Doozy was just, he got hurt, and man,
Doozy was so good though.
He was so good,
and it's just a deep position though.
I didn't know when I put the graphics up of the individual teams, I didn't know what to do with your secondary, Grant, because I think technically you had three corners.
Don't care. Put them anywhere. They'll make a play.
So I put Desmond at safety along with Bernstein and then OJ and Josh at the corners.
We have a sort of Swiss Army knife stable in our defense here.
The one
anyone can play anywhere.
The one thing people were saying about your team, Gary, was that how is anyone going to score on you? And that you had the best defense overall. And
no qualms. Our defense is going to score.
Well, I think all of these defenses could score. I agree. I think probably across the board, and Kev, you can give me your thoughts. I think Grant probably has the best defense.
Yeah, probably. If you can get one of those guys fitted in at safety, which I'm sure Desmond would make a fantastic safety.
Right.
I think you probably do have the best defense. For sure.
You've got Klug, Jaleel, Noah Shannon, and Anthony Nelson is your D-line. I don't even know who the weak link is there.
Probably Noah Shannon.
Probably Noah Shannon. I mean,
not even probably. It is because the other guys were all, you know, early draft picks.
Sure. And Noah was pretty stout in his time. Your linebackers are unbelievable. I mean, Jack Campbell, Christian Kirksey, and Nick Neiman. That is – when Neiman is your liability, that's pretty good out of the three.
And then
your back end we just talked about. Now, Sneaky Petrus, if you have to punt, which your offense I would say is – I think your offense is the weakest.
So here's my thing too is like, okay, everyone's talking about my offense. You guys have been talking about what if Desmond got the ball on offense forever? Why can't I do that on my team?
No.
You
can't
do
that.
What do you mean? There's no rule. It's a draft. What do you mean there's no rule saying that? I have Spencer Petrus at punter. What do you mean? There's no rule.
He punted.
He punted. Okay.
Desmond was never
on offense. I'm convinced
Spencer has punted at some point in his Iowa career. I swear I saw it.
I think, and this is where I think I was a little bit offended at that Kevin's team was getting so much. Oh yeah, Kevin by a million. Was that I think that I personally have a slightly better offense to edge out having the best offense of the four teams. And I don't say that with like for any sureness. I would just love to have the conversation between you guys. Your O-line is better. Okay. However, I have Sean Welsh, Brett Van Sloten, Alaric Jackson, Tyler Linderbaum. Reef was great. James Daniels was great. Was Donnell better than Sloat? Like
objectively, yes.
But like, was it really that different that it's going to be? Was Jordan Walsh better than Sean Welsh?
No, but they're pretty similar.
Ross was probably.
I mean, Sean Ross would have been an undrafted free agent. I mean, he did get signed and decided he didn't want to do it. Jordan Walsh, I'm pretty sure, was an undrafted free agent. And then Donald was a fourth round draft pick, and Sloten didn't get drafted.
Man, I don't know. I don't know if the line I just think as a collective unit, those five are going to be okay.
Yes, you have a good offensive line, right? We're picking the best 20 guys from a 10-year, but it's really more like a 12-year span.
I think overall, if you only have one running back like we do in the situation, I like my back. I like Goodson over Wad.
Sure.
Wadley's better.
I think it's marginal, but I think
it might be marginal, but as an all-around back, I think Goodson's better. I'll call it a wash at fullback. I think I have the better receivers. DJK and ISM. McNutt was insane, but Kevonte was, I would say, the fourth.
All-time catch leader?
I mean,
That is sure. Compelling evidence.
Sure. But we don't need catches. We need people to go make plays.
And then
Laporta versus Hall.
I like my tight ends.
I think, man.
Bronco for life. No,
I think you have the best one. I think I have 2 and 3, and I think you have 4.
You think you have the second and third best tight end?
Between the 4 that we have.
Oh,
okay. This is a big flip now on Fedorowicz. You're just praising him 2 minutes ago.
No. Between the 4 in the conversation, if our teams are matching up against each other, I think TJ probably is number 1, but then I think it's Laporta, Hank, and then Ray 4th. So I think it's pretty even there.
Okay, so we have pretty similar offenses, right? And this is where people pointed out the difference in our teams. Our back ends are not the same.
The back end was tough for me.
On defense, we are not the same.
The back end was tough. I will say this. I feel very good about my
our D-lines are not the same.
Bro, I know Joe. You're disrespecting Joe Evans and
I have Meyer, no disrespect to Joe Evans.
Like everybody else did, brother.
But AJ Epenesa and Chauncey Golston are playing for some fat contracts in the NFL right now.
They are. They
Where are those two guys at?
Nate Meyer could be dead. I don't know. He was a dog though, and so is Joe Evans. Joe Evans is coaching Drake. So Mike Daniels and Carl Davis, by the way. Carl Slutty Davis, we got him scheduled for Wednesday.
No way.
Yeah, we got Carl, baby. Come on. I'm going to hit Drake up for that one because that might be one he comes back for. I'm very excited for that. You're probably right. I think I will fight and say that my offense is just slightly better. Could edge yours out. I have CJ Beathard, and I understand you have Stansy, and CJ is going to will us to victory on the offensive side of the ball. I think both of our offenses are scoring a lot of points. Looking at the defense, I do think you edge me there pretty clearly. Now, I have Ryan Donahue and Mike Meyer, so we are going to be absolutely lethal in the margins, but I'll give it to you. I'm okay. I'm okay to give it to you. I think I have the second best team, though.
I think you have a good team, and I think I'd probably give you the second best team as well.
My back end, it was tough. I didn't prioritize that. I think Geno's a great safety. Tanner Miller is probably a questionable pick. Hankins and Maben were both really solid, but when you're looking at who they're up against, like Riley Moss and Hyde and Desmond and Josh Jackson at their height of their college performance, God, I mean, I just think about Josh in that Ohio State game. He was actually Superman.
Gary, I think you have a really good team. Actually, like we said, your defense is incredible.
Your defense is insane.
I refuse to concede. I think I won. I think I.
I think you made some forced errors though, because there's guys that are still out there that are better than the guys on your team.
I think your offensive line is going to struggle against some of these D lines.
Hey, this is the guys I wanted. All right, I picked my favorites.
If you picked up like Vandervelde. I think
that was a big one.
I think your offensive line gets a lot better.
Yeah.
If you picked up Brandon Smith, I think your receivers get
off.
That was a big miss, I will say. That was a big miss. But I don't hate, I mean, all my guys play in the NFL.
I think you swap those two guys out for a couple of you guys that you did pick. You make an actual.
Becomes a real conversation.
For the top team.
I also think, man. Cans probably wasn't the all-around back. I mean, that, you know, he's
guys I wanted. Don't care.
I understand you believe in them, and that's all that matters.
Yeah. Also, I don't understand why people were so surprised when they're like, hey, why wasn't Grant the favorite coming out of the let's name all of our former teammates draft? Like, why are they like, hey, why wasn't he why didn't he do better at this?
There was some
name all of the teammates from when he was in seventh grade.
There was some conversation or some comments that were like, man, this is just bad ball by Grant here. He's just not, he just didn't do well.
I like I said, I don't know.
I will say this.
Kluver conceded, crazy move by you. I never, what do they say in Galaxy Quest? Never back down, never surrender. I won this draft.
Okay. I mean, Drake, honestly, really good team too. Where Drake struggled was he picked, so he said Jim Poggi. I only know that as a name. And I had several people who were like, man, Poggi off the board before three or four of these other guys is an absolutely wild move. I don't even know who Jim Poggi is. I've heard of Tarp, but I don't think he was like some unbelievable linebacker either. Like, he was a good linebacker, maybe, but he is lacking in the second level of his defense. And then let's see.
He's got a pretty solid back four. Like, he's got a very solid.
Sash, Lomax, Riley Moss, and Micah Hyde is fucking elite, actually. He has a gritty D line. Budgeta, Ballard, Claiborne, and Ott. He might have the most gritty D line of all of us. There's just no actually Claiborne had a little finesse to him, but wow,
that's a good D line. Yeah,
tell you what, his offensive line is just white.
Sheriff, Iowa. I don't know where Nolan's from.
Canada. Canada, dude. Sheriff, but that's Denison, Cedar Falls, Williamsburg, Iowa City, Canada.
I think James technically would have been born in Ohio.
Was he?
I think he would have been born during Coach's stint in Cleveland.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. Yeah. Huh. Okay.
The great city of On Prior, Canada, in Ontario.
Is where McMillan's from?
Yep.
It's a white city, guaranteed.
I like his receivers. He's got solid receivers.
Yeah, he's got solid receivers. I really – Tavon's good. I think – man, it's tough because Noah in college was a dog. Like, Noah in the NFL has – certainly not had the production that Hawk or Laporta or Kittle has had. And that was another thing. People were like, how did Kittle make it this far? Well, for those who didn't listen to the beginning of the episode or didn't quite get the rules, this was based on kind of the height of what these guys did in college. And George was maybe not for his own fault. You know, several of these guys, Noah included in that, both of Drake's tight ends were underused, especially to the fans' liking. Nonetheless,
what was he used? Was he the fourth tight end off the board?
Noah?
Yeah.
George. George would have. So I know.
You took the Porta first, which I thought was insane.
Hand up. I forgot about TJ.
Okay.
I'm just going to come out and say it. I don't like to hide. I'm going to be transparent. Now, I will say this. I think that.
Great tight end. Great.
I think that if
not good, great, but TJ was phenomenal.
He was phenomenal, and the stuff that he was doing in his peak year there was unbelievable. I will say this, and again, this isn't the game we're playing here. I do want to say that given the same quarterback, like if you insert Laporta into that 2017 year, I want to say Laporta does better than with what he was working with as the other 10 guys on his offense. But
I'm going to counter you there and say that Laporta got a much larger share of the targets.
That's fair.
Than TJ got.
That's fair. He did. He got an insane amount of targets. But yeah, man.
I mean, that 2018 would have been TJ's last year.
Oof.
I think he declared after that. Or
yeah, that sounds right. Either 18 or 19 for sure.
They actually had a couple dudes on offense. You know, talk about Brandon Smith. You got Emir. You got, I think, was you know, they had some guys to actually get the ball to.
Yeah, you're right. It's close. I just forgot about TJ. Because when I said Laporta and then I think you were one of you freaked out on me, and you're like, "How did you not pick TJ?" And I was like, "Oh, goddamn, that's hard. That's tough."
Wait, you took Laporta first?
I think I took Laporta as the first tight end in the entire draft.
Oh,
and that just probably no disrespect to Sam, and he's going to make me look great this fall. All right, I feel he's the guy I wanted, right, Grant?
I don't know. I didn't draft your team.
He is.
Here's one thing I want to talk about: Vandenberg or Rudock.
Man, and that's where I think Drake's offense has, like, when you look at Stanley.
Because you guys went CJ Stanley, and I think, yep, I went a couple rounds before I took Stanzy.
Yep.
And
Drake took.
Like, it's a drop-off after those three.
Yeah, and I would even say that – I would even say there's a level down from Stanzy and Beathard to Nate.
Yeah, sure. But not much. I mean, Nate was a dang good quarterback.
He really was.
He doesn't get enough appreciation.
And I think you and I have been on that team we've been screaming that from the mountaintops for years.
Yeah.
And that came to light in 22 and 23. But yeah, there's definitely a drop off down to then, like.
I mean, there's only two others, right?
I'm trying to think if anybody in the last 5 years would even be on that second tier. It's Vandenberg and Rudock, and then it's
Stratton.
It might be Shaggy. Shaggy has really shown promise, man. They say he had the best day on spring day on the open spring practice.
I think about his first just bullet pass.
Oh, baby. How about when he opened it up
right over the middle, just dart.
How about when he threw the tutter? When he led them down the field and threw a tutter on his first drive?
Like, I don't know what Jackson Stratton's career is moving forward, but I will.
I don't care where he ends up, if he's a Hawkeye or if he's somebody else. I'm a Jackson Shaggy Stratton fan for life. Yeah, I mean, it was a fun draft. It was, if you haven't listened to that episode and you're completely confused after the last 20 minutes of the conversation, go check that out. It was 601. I think this episode is like 604 or something.
Did we get an answer on that from you, Kevin, though? Are you taking Rudock instead of Vandenberg?
Oh, I don't know. I was just opening the board up to discussion.
I will say this. This might sound weird too. I didn't watch enough of Vandenberg to really know. I saw what Rudock did in the year. God, was it 2014? Yeah, he played for both those years, and then because they named CJ in January of 15. He wasn't a bad quarterback, you know. Like, he went to Michigan, and then he was on the Lions for like 4 years. Like, he wasn't a bad quarterback.
No,
but he.
I think I would have edged Rudock over Vandenberg, but a little bit of bias. I did not watch the 2011 Hawkeyes.
I didn't either.
My brother committed and then was on the team in 2012.
And that was the first year
I started watching Iowa football games.
Yeah.
And so that's kind of my idea of who James Vandenberg is versus Rudock.
And was his 11 year better than 12?
Oh, allegedly. Yeah.
Well, and 12,
I mean, 2012 was just a shit.
It was a bad year. It was a horrible year. It actually seems like the fact that we came in the year after that, and since then they've never won less than 7 games. That year of 4-8 doesn't even percolate in my mind. It doesn't even seem to be real.
Dude, going 7-5 felt like a shitty year.
Like, it felt like we.
I can't imagine going 4-8,
dude. Bro,
there's programs that do that every year. Like, how do these guys not
kill themselves?
Harm themselves?
Yeah. Dude, I wish I could have been a fly on the wall for the Doyle workouts after that 4-8 season. Man.
Yeah.
Oof. You know, that might be another reason why our first camp was so bad, Kev.
It was because
we were still on the remnants of the 2012 season. And until we got into that season, we didn't know. They were still that 4-8 team until we got through that camp. And so, oof.
And then we lost the first game that year. Oof.
Oof. Northern Illinois, I'll never forget it.
Good team came in and beat us at home, last second field goal. Tough way to start the college career.
So that was fun. I might have to say Rudock, but it's very close, and I don't think you want one of them. You don't want to be the guy in a four-man draft that has to choose between them. Let's just say that. The one thing that Rudock didn't have, and I'll, you know, again, I just said he wasn't a bad quarterback, but He did not, and it's tough because
he didn't have the aura.
The aura that the kids talk about these days. Rudock.
He's auraless.
There was a void of aura for our guy Jake Rudock, and he was a nice guy.
CJ had aura.
CJ
Stanzi had aura.
Nate Stanley, not as much, but like maybe deserved to have a little bit more aura than he did. Jake just did not connect as a team leader, like I will die for this is my general. And he was compared directly to the Golden Goat, CJ Beathard, who was a guy's guy, just everybody's favorite teammate, put it all on the line, literally like had like a groin mesh in, like he was diving over the Indiana goal line with like six different injuries in game 9 of that year when we were going undefeated. Like this man would have done anything for a point. And Rudock didn't have that, at least not at the time. And he went on to play at Michigan. He went on to be in the NFL. Maybe he developed a little bit more of it, but stuff. I makes me feel even better about having CJ on my team.
So if we're having an aura,
I'm actually back. I unconcede, and I actually won the draft.
Bullshit. Yes.
Is there anything more if we're doing an aura competition between our core backs? I submit that running 4 QB sneaks in a row against USC is the most aura.
That's a lot of aura.
I submit that footage to the committee.
That's your punter, though, so. Oh wait, no, that was
no.
Oh, Stanley. Yeah.
He's got Stanley.
That's right.
And actually, although I
do
crazy.
Trust if they want to do a position swap, I'll trust it.
Yeah, I would too, dude. Nate,
actually, your quarterback is a better punter than your punter. Stanley was actually
Nate was a great punter,
damn good punter.
Nate hit a couple in practice that were like legit 40 yarders.
Hey, I mean,
his next try out, like, he was ready. Great for inside 20s.
He was awesome for inside 20s. We didn't use him enough. Which quarterback do you think survives in an airplane crash? I think it's probably Rudock. He does some math equation. He was geeky. He was a real smart guy. He probably figures a way. He's like, if I get over the plane at this angle.
He was going to go to – I don't know if he actually ended up doing it, but he was going to go to med school and be a doctor.
So yeah.
I know how to fix himself.
Apply a tourniquet, right? Rudock, my apologies.
He just tourniquets himself. He cuts off the bleed.
Cauterizes. Grabs like some exposed electrical wire, cauterizes the wound.
Oh man.
Mid-flight.
So the only other thing I have on here is in the last few days since we talked with Searles about it, is that Purdy was officially paid.
Yeah, he was.
And I just wanted to kind of bring that to the conversation. $255 million?
In this economy?
And this economy?
In this economy?
Actually, the economy has been pretty great the last couple of weeks.
I don't know. I just like saying that.
I know. It is funny.
Contracts.
I understand that you have to do it. And Searles explained why. Because Searles believes, in his words, there's 20 guys that are a guy. Like, they are a starting quarterback in the NFL. You can win games because of them. Because they are good QBs. They can lead a team. They can direct an offense. And right now... And I believe it too. I think Purdy is one of those guys.
Yeah, he's shown that. I mean, is he not the most accurate passer in the league last year? I think he was.
Maybe. Completion percentage. He could be on top of that. The problem is he's
shown that he has the ability, given the weapons around him. Like, you can win a Super Bowl with that guy.
Yeah,
have they won it? No, but it. They have the ability with that guy. So it's like, okay, we have a guy that we can do it with. We have to lock him down, and we have to try to get what we need around him to get it done.
Right, because if you don't
have the quarterback, you're kind of screwed.
And if you have the quarterback and you don't pay him, like if San Fran is just like, hey, everybody, we love Brock. I mean, we love this guy. He's awesome. He does seem like a very wholesome dude too.
Yeah, nice guy.
He's not – you know, we think he's a top 20 guy. He's just not a top 8 guy, right? Well, and like, you know,
what's the Grant? Look it up while we discuss this. What's the 20th highest paid quarterback in the league game this year?
Search quarterback contracts rankings and find us 1 to 32. It's just like
he's
now
he's also the 10th. He's also 10th in completion percentage. In case anyone was curious.
So he's a top 15 guy, top 20 guy. The problem is you have him. If you let him go, you are going to get absolutely roasted by everybody that's a fan of the NFL, that's a fan of football, they're going to say, you let Brock Purdy go. You didn't pay him. Now what's your plan? Who are you going to go get? Like, what's going to happen now? Now you're definitely not going to win because you don't have the quarterback. So you have to pay the quarterback. Problem is, when you pay the quarterback $250 million and you just paid your tight end, hey, shout out to George, go Hawks. You just paid George 75, no.
He's 80, getting 20 mil a year, yeah.
$100 million, 80, $100 million. You start to run out of money quick.
I mean, Trent Williams is getting paid an insane amount of money. McCaffrey's making a shit ton of money.
McCaffrey? Juszczyk just got like, I know they didn't, they tried to cut him and then they brought him back. Are they going to have anybody to protect? What's, I mean, what's the rest of their offensive look like? What's their, I think they lost Debo. Debo's not on the Niners, is he anymore? Grant?
Debo's not on the Niners, no.
Okay, so they don't have to pay him. They had everybody, it seemed like. I don't know what their defense looks like. At one point, Warner and Bosa and all these other guys, they were like one of the best defensives in the league. I don't know who still remains there. It just is, it starts to become a math problem. And shout out to Purdy, man. Guy is going to make $50 million a year. It's like 180 guaranteed. Kev, if you got 180 guaranteed,
yeah.
What's the first purchase you're making, man? And it could be an experience, could be a trip. Where are you taking a list? Like, what are you doing? What's the first thing you're doing with 180 M's guaranteed?
I don't even know. I'm probably just buying a bunch of land somewhere.
Land?
Yeah.
Land,
yeah.
Muscle Shell County.
Hey, shush.
Oh, sorry. I'm blowing up.
Let people know.
I'm blowing up the plan.
I can't find top 20, but I have top 10, if that works.
Yeah, rattle those off.
Osweiler.
This is on a annual.
Brock Osweiler.
That dude finessed the league. For
what is Bo Nix getting on his rookie contract?
Not enough. He deserves all the money in the world.
I believe anything because I'm wants. A Bo-liever. Oh, by the way, I don't want to rub it in, Grant, but how? Okay,
how many topics do you want to go on in the next?
No, well, right I just now,
30 seconds.
We're recording this on Game 7 Sunday. How do the Nuggets lose by 100 points?
We have three healthy players.
Okay,
that makes it's sense. Game 7. We've played. This is our eighth game in 15 days.
Okay, and you had nobody healthy. Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah, that was my qualms. But hey, I'm and sorry also, about that. Also, we fired our coach like 3 months ago, I feel like, or with three games left in the season. People forgot.
Yeah, that was an interesting move.
You guys overperformed as well.
And we got better somehow. It was crazy. I don't know. But hey, next season, we're going to get Jokic some weapons. We still have the best player in the world. We move on. We're fine.
Okay. Sounds okay. Good.
Annual basis, though, top 10 guys. It's Dak Prescott, Jordan Love, Trevor Lawrence, Joe Burrow, Josh Allen, Tua, Brock Purdy, Jared right. Goff.
Oh. Back up, because that top three is just.
Are you 10 to 1 here?
This is 1 to 10.
No, that's 1 to – yeah.
That's Dak 1 Prescott. To 10?
So this is the
– Dak main, Prescott is the highest-paid quarterback in the league?
He's been the highest-paid quarterback in the
Jordan
league.
Jordan Love is number 2.
He's number 2.
I believe in Jordan Love.
Did you say Trevor Lawrence is number 3?
He's technically tied for 2, but sure.
Barf.
Dude, the Cowboys suck too.
Trevor Lawrence might not even be a top 20 guy in the league.
Oh, whoa.
I'll say I'm kind of a Lawrence truther, but
what is your truth?
Top 20 at least, but I understand how like tied for like if this is like who's the most valuable,
it's not
basing
him.
It on money. I don't think Trevor.
But Lawrence if we're going off of talent, I think it would have to really.
I'm just curious, like what did Trevor Lawrence show you in the league in his first 4 years to deserve that money?
Playoff comeback game, wild card. Give him the cash.
It was like a
31-point comeback. That was awesome.
Oh, was that when they beat?
That was crazy.
The Colts. They came back from like 27 or 31 points or something like that.
I believe so. Yeah, it was awesome.
Biggest comeback in the history of the NFL.
But what was I going to say? Oh, the reason why they posted this graphic mainly though is none of the quarterbacks in the top 10 have won a Super Bowl.
It's so hard to win. If you're not Patrick Mahomes, dude, you know how hard it is to win a Super Bowl?
The thing is, all these guys who won the Super Bowl, like they won it probably on their rookie deal. Then they got paid and haven't, you know. And then now the next batch of dudes have gotten paid without winning a Super Bowl. So they just reset the market above those dudes.
So Purdy ended up being what on that list?
He is tied for 7th with
after his new deal, he is 7th in the league.
Yes.
Jesus Christ, man.
Is that also seventh, like, overall outside quarterbacks?
Has to be, right?
Couldn't tell you.
There's what would be the, like, what Tristan would probably be next after QBs, right?
I did have an
Tristan's article. Only Tristan's only making, I think, like 30 million a year.
Only 30?
Yeah, that's still seventh overall.
Do you think I'm right on that, Kev? Like, Tristan would have to be the next highest paid after the 32 quarterbacks?
No, can you look up position players, Grant, by any chance? I think
I believe Jamar Chase is the highest paid non-quarterback.
I think you're right, yeah.
With his new deal from this past season?
He's getting $40 million.
Wow, for a receiver. Wow. That is so much money, dude. So I play this game every time you drive down, in Des Moines. It's like you drive downtown, you see the billboard, and it's like, hey, this week's Powerball up to $782 million. And I'm just like, bro, give me the half lump sum, whatever. What am I doing with 350 millis? What am I doing?
What are you doing?
And you know what I'm doing, Kev? I'm sending you a couple M's right off the bat.
Oh, thanks, man.
I'm gonna hit the boys.
So with some cash. The rookie contract thing. Okay, do you guys, if you can recall, was Nick Foles, what contract kind of thing was he doing when he won a Super Bowl?
For the Eagles?
For the Eagles. Because he was the backup. That was 2017.
He
was the
backup, but he started.
Nick Foles.
Because other than him, I don't know. It's been a while since someone's won a Super Bowl on their rookie contract.
So he was with
Mahomes. Mahomes had to have won it.
Was Mahomes on a rookie contract then? 2019? Oh, he was then. Okay, yeah. Outside of, unless your name was Patrick Mahomes, it's been a while.
Jalen Hurts got paid.
He did
get paid. But he's outside the top 10 now? Because he's making $40 million a year, I think.
Of quarterbacks or just annual? He has the 11th contract.
Okay. Foles was not on his rookie contract. He was with the Eagles from 2012 to 2014. Spent a year with the Rams in 15, a year with the Chiefs in 16, and then in 17 and 18, he was with the Eagles again. So he would have been.
Because it's, I mean, outside, and then I think Russell Wilson, maybe 2013, could have been.
Man.
Yeah, probably.
Like Roethlisberger.
Yeah, he was a third round pick too. Like, they weren't paying him anything, so like they could pay their defense in the same
money. I saw something about the Denver Broncos are about to have the number one defense in the league by far.
Yeah, it's true. I wrote that article. I tweeted that.
It was by Grant Allen, some guy named Grant Allen.
Oh, that guy sounds like he knows what he's talking about. But no, we'll have a good defense with Hawkeyes on there helping us out.
I think to the point, though, and now that I'm thinking about it, is, you know, all these top 10 quarterbacks haven't won a Super Bowl. Well, who's won all the Super Bowls? It's been Mahomes. And these guys all signed their deals to reset the market in the last 5 years.
Right.
Mahomes has just been going crazy.
And then you have, like, Stafford, who is probably not, like, begging for a ton of money right now. He's doing fine. And then it was Brady, who's not on a contract anymore.
Right.
Brady twice in the Mahomes era. Like,
Foles. Mean –
So basically, Mahomes is the reason why these top 10 quarterbacks have.
Dude, and that's what's crazy is if you're Josh Allen. And
that's why Kansas City got a crazy deal for signing for 10 years.
That's why.
They got a crazy deal for a half a billion dollars.
Yeah, looking back, you're like, oh my God, the Chiefs absolutely stole that thing for half a billion dollars.
When did that would have been pre – when did he sign that deal?
I'll look it up.
It's like 2 years ago. 2 years ago?
2021, 2022 maybe.
He signed that contract in July 6th of 2020.
July
10th. Ten year, 450
so
millis.
Inflation's gone up about 20% since then. So yeah, Kansas City got a great deal.
It's a great deal.
Good for Kansas City. For all the Kansas City fans out there, I pretty much only Kansas City fans.
I will say this. After last year, rough look against the Eagles, does Patrick Mahomes win another Super Bowl?
If I had to bet yes, I would bet yes. Like if it was like coin flip?
Ever? Yes.
Yes.
You think he wins another one?
Yeah. Well, think about it, like even like I don't know how long Mahomes is going to play for, but like Brady went a long time in between Super Bowls.
Mm-hmm.
Like after 04, he won in 04 and then he didn't win again until – 2014.
It might just be a little bit of that Chiefs fatigue.
Oh, some, believe me.
I know what you said. I know what you know what I'm talking about, G-Bone. Something says that the Chiefs are in trouble, and
it could be, but he's a good enough quarterback that you have a chance to win every game.
You're right.
Yeah, I don't think they're going anywhere. And like, even if he doesn't win one for the next 2 years, I'd still say yes, unless he like both knees completely destroyed.
Was he in our class, Kev? Or wait,
he was the draft class above us,
right before us.
He got drafted in 2017.
Okay, so he's coming up on. So this will be his eighth year. God, he's done so much in 8 years. He is still young. Somehow, crazy. It would suck so bad if you're Burrow or Lamar, and you're not Burrow, Josh Allen or Lamar, and you're just like, dude, we're two of the best quarterbacks that have ever done this thing. And every year we got to run up against Patrick Mahomes.
Well, it's no different than, I mean, guys do this with Brady, like Ben Roethlisberger, right?
Yeah.
Or like the Mannings.
Even Peyton Manning had a hard time getting by him.
Dude, sucks.
Dude, those old school Patriots Colts games were awesome.
So awesome.
Yeah. Awesome.
Oh, all right. Well,
a guy like Phil Rivers, no Super Bowls.
True.
12 kids, though.
So. 12 kids. He made up for it in children.
He beat Tom in that. By a lot.
Still has his wife, too.
Hope, 12 kids. It's gonna.
I think. I think to a single father, single parenting 12 would be really, really tough. I have nothing else on the agenda.
TLC show.
This was. Yeah, you're right.
Philip Rivers raising 12 kids by himself.
Philip's dozen on TLC. Coming
Tuesdays,
this fall.
Tuesdays at 4.
At 4?
I don't know.
Right where the soap opera goes.
I'm just guessing the Philip Rivers reality show crowd isn't a big late night TV group.
I don't know. I think you put that right around 6 or 7.
Prime time?
Yeah, hell yeah. I don't know. Dude, that's all he knows is prime time, maybe.
It's going up against like, it's like HBO dramas, the NBA. It's going up.
Yes. I have nothing left. This was, again, like I said, casual episode, friendship episode. Assuming that Big Carl Davis doesn't cancel or anything, we're hoping to schedule with him. Got a couple on the whiteboard over here that I'm trying to get in line as we enter the summer slow months. Like I said, it's a grindy time of year. We'll see you when we see you. Peace. Hey, thanks for listening to the show. If you want more, you can check us out on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and YouTube by searching Washed Up Walk-Ons. And if you're interested in supporting the show, head over to patreon.com/washedupwalkons where you can find bonus podcasts, merchandise, and other cool perks. Best part, half of your subscription benefits the kids at UI Children's Hospital. We'll see you next time. Hawks by a million.